different than that one. Roll call, we have Shadaz,
Noble.
Who's missing? I know Miss Noble. Zaleski's not here, and Gabe Noodle.
No.
So we have three, so we're good. I believe Gabe Noodle, I saw some information, he's in Washington at the NACO conference. Approval of the minutes of the, that we have no youth and governance. Approval of the minutes from February 4th and February 20th. Did everyone receive those? I went through them.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Noble, seconded by Supervisor Dodge to approve the minutes of February 4th and February 20th. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth, I have nothing. Does anybody have any comments before we begin here? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizen that wishes to address the committee on any matter would have 5 minutes. The only thing we ask is that you give your name and address, and we would proceed. So any citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on. First thing on our dentist facilities, old business. 60th Street Tower, Ray. Thanks for coming.
Well, I wish I had something more significant to report. Since the last meeting, I've had about three or four attempted contacts with the city development folks that I've been working with. Finally got a voicemail returned last week, and he updated me and indicated that the appraisers that John had sent him the names of prior to our last meeting, which was at the end of January, the last week of January, he was going to contact them and check into that. So he also indicated that the city administrator, he was kind of cryptic in what he explained, but bottom line is I talked with the executives, I talked with Jenny last week, and she was going to make an attempt to get a hold of the city administrator to see what the holdup is. Bottom line is, the only thing that needs to happen, they need to get a hold of an appraiser, get the appraisals done on the two pieces of property, the little piece we're putting the tower on 16th Street, and the one by Washington Park. That's all that needs to happen. And we gave them the appraisers' names, and I called them, I'd call them about once a week, just to keep, or send an email, just to kind of keep pushing. And but next, this week actually, I told Jenny that we should, if she could get a hold of Cassetti, and I'll keep working on Brian Wilkie. We just got to get them to do it, because the one thing that I did get a note on is prefab building that we've got spec'd. We haven't ordered that yet because we didn't want it to get here or be waiting to take it, take possession of it. But I know that that lead time now is 90 days out for that building, which isn't bad. But he said it's, as they move into spring, it's often 120 days before you can get those buildings, because obviously everybody's going to start doing these projects now as soon as things get weather conditions improve a bit. So
we're not seriously waiting for the federal government. We're waiting for the city to do an appraisal so they can show the federal government the SWOT.
Correct. That's it. Yeah, not the article that was in the paper that...
I knew it wasn't the article in the paper, and there's these semantics that they use, and it's a bunch of fairy tales. That's where we are.
That's where we're at, unfortunately.
Thanks, Rick. And we appreciate you staying on, working on this.
I want to see this thing up. Mm-hmm. Every time we get a snow that, like we had last week, where it sticks on everything, and the wind picks up to 30 miles an hour, it's not a good feeling.
No. So I won't report negatively like I usually do tomorrow night. I'll throw something in there. Thanks, Ray. We'll move on to the Park and Ride, right? I'm sorry.
Okay. We're making progress. The information that the credit card company was waiting for was sent to them last week. They're going to send that on to the gate company, which is Amano. They'll do the programming they need to do. That takes approximately 2 weeks, and then we can plan on an opening date. So we're looking at probably realistically 4 weeks.
At least, yeah, okay.
It's progress.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Ron. KCDC HVAC controls.
I'll take that, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
We're still progressing on it. We're working with trying to find out which VAV boxes aren't working properly, and we're working with Kane on that. But we're still pushing through on it, so it might be a little delayed, but we're working our way through the issues.
What's the projected completion date?
We were shooting for April. It depends on how many VAV boxes are bad, and we still don't have it. We actually have to get a testing procedure to go through each and every one.
What do you call it? D-what?
It's called a VAV box. It's a variable air VAV, variable air
volume.
Ventilation, air conditioning.
Yeah. So it's 17 years old, and we're finding that some of these aren't functioning correctly, which now we're putting on the controls. If those aren't functioning correctly, that telling it to heat or cool a room with the thermostat, that isn't mixing the air right, then we're not getting the right temperature. Now we're finding out some of these are bad, so we're in the process of finding how many of them are bad.
Any other questions on that? We'll go on to the practice range, I think, Ron, that'll be you.
The range opened for use today with the modifications we made. The only outstanding issue is we have to redo the lighting in there. But we'll mount a couple of floodlights on the sidewalls, and other than that, the range is open for business.
Everybody's happy?
Won't go that far.
All right. Then we'll move on to the bathroom remodel project.
I'll take that, Mr. Chairman. We're progressing pretty well, and everybody seems fairly happy, and they should be open next week.
Wonderful. The Yule House, I believe, Bernie, unless there's some other serious thing here, that's why you're here.
That's right.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that's why I have. And that's also why Carol O'Neill is here. Since the resolution was amended specifically to use an RFP in this process, I called the director of purchasing, because she really does most of the RFPing in the county these days. I do it a couple times a year. Maybe she does it all the time. So she agreed to help us out and put together a form of an RFP, which was sent to the committee in your packets, and it has some questions left open for the committee to fill in terms of timetables and years of experience and some other things we can go through. But I thought that we should use a real experienced person and an experienced method, as long as we're going to do it this way, and it helps us both abide by the ethics code, also get a good product out.
Right.
We're also wondering, Carol has generously agreed to kind of honcho the process, which is wonderful. But we're wondering from the committee also, how many names do you want? Or, you know, do you want 100, do you want 5, or do you want, you know, kind of up to you. We can use the RFP process. We could set up a lay RFP committee, which can then, you know, do the hours that maybe you don't want to spend and the volume end of it, and then bring you some quality people, or you can see them all, or somewhere in between.
I think we'll leave it up to the, we'll have discussion here on the committee right now. I think it's a, personally it shows a the true fault of government, that we're sitting here talking about a $400,000 building, and we're talking about the RFPs and possibility of doing 10 and having this poor staff have to go through all this work. What was done at the committee level was done for a couple reasons, so now we're going to have to go through this. But Supervisor Alverman would have fought this. Now here's where we're at. So to make it as little work as possible for maybe a $400,000 sale on real estate, whatever works. And if the committee wants to make it complicated, they can make it complicated. And the county board wants to make it complicated, they can make it complicated. But I think this is ridiculous how we've gone about this. Supervisor Kleski.
I concur. Is there something that you guys have to do? Is there something in the, you know, the rules about businesses? You have to look at everything. Can you whittle it down? Try to minimize. We certainly doesn't have to be 100, right?
Well, we don't control. We don't control that. We have to send a request for proposals out to the normal places you would, which is to put an ad in the newspaper. And Carol might want to chime in on this, but send it to the local real estate board, ask them to distribute it to their members, and people other than Kenosha people will probably weigh in, because we've already had one contact from the Chicago area wanting to know when we're going to sell 45 and 50. So we're going to get some different replies, and we'll do it any way the committee wants it, but probably to make it easier, if we brought you half a dozen qualified people, I think you could make some good choices from
there. Carol, what do you think?
Well, I'd say that.
There is a huge amount of interest in this from the real estate people. They're calling me and calling me. They all want this job. So I think that by doing an RFP, you're doing an open and fair process of selecting one. And you'll probably get some complaints from some of them, but it's an open and transparent process, and I don't think that anybody can argue with that. If you just go out and hire somebody without doing any kind of a process like this, right, then you're opening yourselves up to some criticism of being unfair.
So do you have a kind of a gut feel for what you think that a good or reasonable number to boil it down to? Top three, top five? Is it all cost-based, or there's some other things in here?
No, it's not all cost-based, okay, at all. We want to look at their qualifications, and that's the good part of an RFP. Yeah. It's not a bid. If you were doing a bid, it would be just on the low price, and that's it. But on an RFP, you can name your own evaluation criteria.
Okay.
So we
I concur with the chairman, and that is whatever minimizes the amount of work you guys got to do, but gets us the most. And most qualified is a relative term, okay?
Right.
Based on our educated decision, what is the best entity to go with? I'm okay with that.
Supervisor Noble.
I say we ask you to bring three back to the committee with a recommendation, with your recommendation for one of the three, and we'll go from there.
Would you like to make that a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
Second by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So it's three.
Okay. On the timetable, we had a couple more questions as we go through this. Would you like us to get on this right away and come back next meeting, next month?
I think whatever works for your staff.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be the next meeting. We've sat on this building for years.
Yeah.
So whatever works for you folks. You might have a big load in Carol's department, and it wouldn't fit in. So.
Okay. That we appreciate that latitude. In terms of experience, we put in our materials to you that they should have at least 5 years of experience with 3 years of sales of commercial and income-producing properties. Does that seem reasonable? Okay. See a lot of heads nodding. I don't know about the average annual sales. I don't have a feel for what a successful agent would be. Does $5 million seem reasonable, or is that too high?
It's not too high. I don't think.
That's not high.
Not if you're dealing commercial, I think that's
fine. No.
Let's see. Carol, do you have any questions we wanted to opposed to the committee?
The contract term.
The contract term. We had talked about perhaps letting this out in six-month increments. Does that seem compatible with everybody on the committee?
I'm certainly...
Six-month at a time?
Not in real estate, but I've sold real estate. 6 months is a normal term. So that seems...
So if we could, go at the same agent or we could change horses at 6 months?
6 months, right.
Anything else, Carol?
Did you want to talk about the open house at all?
Yeah, we're planning on an open house. We're going to ask them to look at it before they make their proposal. No, we can probably handle that ourselves.
I'm going to
Doug?
Yeah. I thought I saw somewhere where it says mandatory pre-proposal conference, and then on page...
I caught that. I haven't seen it. This is still a very rough draft.
Yeah, she did great to get it out for us for tonight's meeting.
You caught then what? Just so we're on the same.
It's mandatory in one area and optional in another area.
Yeah, in section F, I think she
right.
said it was optional.
Okay. I'll just say this, that there is a requirement in our ethics and in our regular policy not to have people contact you, members of the committee, or contact us except for the contact person. And then what we do is if they have a question, we reduce the question to writing, you've been through this, and I know some of the others have been through this. We give the question and the answer to everybody who asks for a proposal packet, so it's a fair playing field. So that's the reason for it. And then to enforce it, we say you can be disqualified if you try to contact, say, me when they're supposed to contact Carol, or contact you when they're supposed to contact Carol. That's to put a little teeth behind it. So just be aware that if somebody calls with an interest, thank them for their interest, direct them to Carol.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then report them, right?
Yeah. Well, if they're
talking about Carol, right?
They try to twist your arm, yeah. That's about it.
Supervisor Dodge?
Yeah. The red page, number 12. Contract period, is that what you were saying, 6 months? The double X days on
right.
D?
I think so.
That's 6 months?
It's in a couple of different spots.
Yeah, we got a couple.
Yeah, I see that. So, do we need to identify those?
We will.
Okay.
I've circled some. We'll get that a little bit polished up before we send it out.
Okay.
And we're not sure. We're not sure about the indemnity or insurance and that. We'll see what's standard for that industry, and we'll just ask for that.
Right.
That's about it.
Thank you very much. I realize this is a procedure that, as a governmental body, we have to go through. We're going to try to make this as painless as possible for you folks, hopefully the county board won't complicate it any more than we have this evening. We as a committee have a lot of experience, and we think three would be appropriate, so we hope it stays at that.
The only other question I have on that is if we want to end our relationship with the first realtor because they weren't successful, then, you know, you've only evaluated three. Would you want to go to the next one that was on the list, or would you want to
start over? We could probably rank them and tell us what...
I think we'll rank them, and then Bernie would then probably open up, if we go past three, to another ranking.
Yeah, probably so, unless we found a real good second-tier group.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like you say, we don't want to make this any more difficult than we need to. And it might very well go past 6 months, I don't know. With the market recovering, but not quite there yet.
It may, but then there was a news story on it.
Yeah, that helps.
That's going to help. Yep.
Yeah.
Ray?
Mr. Chairman, since there was that news article, did that Open Wings, have they contacted you, Carol, or anybody?
The realtors?
No, the school that opened up now in St. Mary's.
They haven't called me. No.
Yeah, okay, I was just curious.
4,000 realtors.
You would. You just. That's crazy.
The day after the article.
That's crazy.
My phone did not stop ringing.
Supervisor Noble?
I noticed on this indemnity and insurance, we don't have any indemnity and hold harmless clause in our standard, in Section 3, the Kenosha County standard conditions, or do we always...
Thanks, Bernie.
It's always handled in the indemnity, in the insurance section.
So it's always separate from Section 3, then, huh?
Correct. We want them to, they tend not to read the standard terms. We want to make sure they read it, so we put it in with the insurance. Every RFP, the bid that we send out is reviewed by the risk manager before we send it out, so that he can go through it and see if we need to change it.
And do you require a certificate of insurance to make sure that they've...
Absolutely.
That they've made you, what's the word I'm looking for?
So that they comply with the terms in the motion.
That you're listed as additional insured?
Yes.
You do that?
Yes.
A lot of places are resistant to that.
Thanks, Ray.
No, they don't get the contract if they don't comply with that.
Any other questions? For that, we'll move on to critical facade and roof survey. Ray?
Mr. Chairman, I'll take that. I passed out...
Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome.
Passed out a handout. This is an excerpt from a report that we had Insight Consulting Architects do on the administration building of November 2010. And actually, this is in the process of doing the courthouse at the time, I said, well, let's take a look at the admin building and just walk around it. And sure enough, we saw some really bad things going on. Some water was getting in through the capstones into the bricks in the freezing and thawing. And as we found out that people were finding bits of bricks in the driveways and in the back of the building from the north and west sides, which is also a safety issue. So we brought it to attention of the committee back then, but we did emergency repairs on these areas. And actually, in those areas, we also put, knowing that we want to get to more substantial repair, we put plywood over these areas also to make sure nothing fell out of it. So here we are. We put the money in the budget for to go over the entire KCAB building, the exterior and the roof, like we did the same procedure we used on the courthouse, so that we have a good solid idea of what needs to be repaired, and we can get a good solid number, budgetary number, so that the committee and, of course, can figure in if that will work for next year to actually go through the entire restoration like we did on the courthouse. So that was passed by the committee and put in the budget last year, and we're going to be commencing that on the 13th of March, and that'll take about a week and a half. So I wanted to bring it to the committee.
Very good. Supervisor Noble?
How much is in the budget for that?
$100,000 in the budget.
Just to look it over?
Yes, just to look it over. And that was based off of, and actually the... this architect is pretty reasonable. That's based off of about 6 to 7% of the projected cost of the whole thing. Originally, the architects that the school district contacted for Reuther, which is a very well-known architect and restoration architect in Wisconsin, they wanted 20%. So this one is, they did both Reuther for the school district, they did the courthouse for us, and they're relatively reasonable.
But they'll do a written...
Oh, yes.
It's not a week.
Yeah. We'll get a report like this.
Well, all the specs, the bid.
Yes. It's taken us all the way, not only the inspection, but all the way up into the bid documents themselves.
That's approved.
So it's a complete set, complete with estimates on what it's all going to cost. And those estimates were very accurate for our... we put that in the budget, and it came out very accurate to what was actually here.
Is that the place that pretty much almost, well, at least for the courthouse, went brick?
Stone by stone.
Stone by stone.
Stone by stone.
Every stone.
They make drawings literally that number each and every stone, each and every course, and each stone has a code on it, whether it needs to be repaired, replaced, fixed with a Dutchman, or you know, how it needs to be remortared, yes, they do that complete analysis and give us all of those drawings and documents, and that's what's used for the bidding process.
Obviously, they're not going to do every brick.
Not every brick.
but every section,
yes.
Or every quarter section,
yes.
Or something like that. Okay. Well, they did a good job.
When are they going to start?
March 13th.
March.
And that'll run until the 24th.
Anything else?
No.
Thanks, Frank.
We'll bring the full report to the committee.
Right. We will move on to highways, new business. And that is, the first thing is review and approve the resolution to approve the appointment of Lieutenant Thomas A. Barakas, senior. Senior, don't look like a senior. To the Traffic Safety Commission.
Yeah, it's the resolution that you're going to consider tonight is the appointment of Lieutenant Podoykas to the Traffic Safety Commission, and this would be his second go around on the commission. And I've worked with Tom on all kinds sorts of things, including the commission for over 30 years, and I can tell you, you're not going to find a better qualified candidate to serve on the commission based on the experience that I've had working with Tom. So I don't know if Tom wants anything more to add about it.
I've got a few more good years than me, if you want.
Well, we're just glad that you put senior in there. Any questions?
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge to approve.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Thank you very much, Tom.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Because we know the compensation is
holding a lot.
I'd stick around, but I think we got a snowstorm coming in the morning, and I got to be at 4:30. So.
Well, I never say no to a man with a gun.
Well, thank you, yeah. Thank you again for volunteering to do this.
Sure.
Here's the original. Director's report.
Just a few things. A few meetings ago, if you recall, you approved the resolution to repair the County Trunk Highway S railroad crossing at the UP Railroad. After that was approved by the county board, I forwarded that to the Commissioner of Railroad's office, and I would say within about a week, the railroad came down and repaired that crossing. So just want to make you aware of that your efforts with that resolution were worthwhile. So that was a good result. On the snow clearing.
Do
you think that, because I drive through there a lot,
mm-hmm.
Did they kind of temporarily fix it, or is that their fix?
That they actually replaced the broken panels
in
there.
Yeah.
It wasn't patched. They put new. They tore out the old panels, put in the new ones. So I think they did the best they could, short of replacing the whole thing.
Okay, because I know, like when they did 18th mm-hmm. Street, that was leveled very nicely, right? And I know we're in the middle of winter. I was just wondering whether
sure.
or not. Okay, they got the panels replaced, but there's still a pretty good variation between the pavement and the. On the crossing, or is it that's the way it's going to stay now?
That's the way it's going to stay for now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure. As far as snowstorms, we're a little bit above average at this point of the winter. We've been out on 29 storms where we had to have the full crew out. Compared to last year, of course, was a pretty light year, but this year we're a little over 2,000 overtime hours ahead of last year at this point. So we've been busy, particularly on weekends, so that does impact our overtime. And salt usage, we're Almost 1,000 tons over the average usage for a season. So everything's up this year. You wouldn't think so, other than based on the last few weeks, but all those little one-inch snowstorms, you know, they're just, they keep us busy. We have to address those smaller storms, and then of course the larger ones that have extended periods of snow. There was actually 5 days in a row last week where we were out plowing and salting just from the storm we had, and then the drifting and little, you know, we had these little waves of snow coming through. So kept us busy, and obviously tomorrow looks like a little bit more. The other thing, I don't know how much you get around on the county roads, but they're pretty rough this time of year. This is about as bad as they're going to get from frost heave, and potholes are starting to develop. So they're getting pretty rough. It's about as bad as they get. Probably around April or so, we'll reevaluate all of our roads, re-survey them all, and come up with a resurfacing plan for this year. Right now, we're sitting pretty good. We've got about 8 miles of arterial type road that needs resurfacing, and then behind that, there's about another 17 miles that are due for resurfacing, but aren't the as critical as the arterial type roads. So, but we'll put together that whole improvement program once we can reevaluate after this winter damage that we're getting. But I just want to make you aware that, you know, we're certainly aware of the conditions out there, and we'll put together a plan to address those when the construction season begins. And that's all I had.
Supervisor Dodge?
Yeah, could you identify one of those 8 miles of material resurfacing that are needed?
Sure. Actually, I have the entire list. Highway W, south of Highway 50, would be on that list. Highway KR between the UP Railroad and 31. Highway F. Basically, all of Highway F between Silver Lake and Twin Lakes. And that actually takes up a good part of that, the higher priority rated roads.
Okay, thank you.
But again, because they're on this list now doesn't mean it's going to be that same list after we do our re-ratings this spring. It, depending on how much damage there was over the winter, it could shift dramatically. But those are at this point the highest rated.
Gary, is Z between P and O anywhere on there?
I believe.
Just because everybody yells at me about that one.
Z between P and O, it is not on the list, no.
Okay.
But that, like I say...
It could end up there.
It could. Yeah, I thought it was, but I don't see that.
Okay. Anything else for Gary? Supervisor Noble?
Gary, you know, when I was driving home from... seen on Highway 31, and I know, and right at KR, a plow was behind me, and of course it's a double lane road, so I noticed the plow was behind me, and I pull over, let it go, and I immediately got behind him, and we were sailing along until he came upon the next car, and we were going then 20 miles an hour. I know everybody pulls over for squad cars. How do we get the public to start thinking about pulling over for the plows. I mean, I thought to myself, geez, he could have been down this road and back if this goofball would have just pulled over like I did.
It's just a public educational thing. It's a serious problem we have trying to get work done. There was a point, I think it was whatever afternoon it was, when we had that the snow all day. I can't remember what day it was last week.
Wednesday. I was here. I just leave and remember it started snowing.
Yeah. There were points where it was taking 20 minutes, for our trucks, 20 minutes to drive a half a mile just because of the traffic. The traffic volumes are so high, and, people... I think they just feel that they can do anything they do on a July afternoon in the middle of a blizzard, because there's so many people out in the snow now, and it's a problem, but I don't know what the solution is, to tell you the truth.
Well, I can make a suggestion that, oftentimes I know the paper will call you up, for a quote or whatever. You may try to get them to put something about that. I mean, if you're on a four-lane road, and you see the plow behind you, move over.
Right.
So that we can get the job done. And I know you can't pull over on a two-lane road, but even if they did it on four-lane roads, it would be a big help.
Yeah. Yeah, people need to learn to adjust. You have to adjust to the conditions, and part of those conditions are the plows out on the road trying to get the work done. So it makes it very challenging. Fortunately, I mean, we have a few little scrapes and with other vehicles, but for the most part, we've been very fortunate. Been able to safely get the work done too, because safety is a huge issue for us, and we're dealing with the public, and we want to make sure they stay safe and our employees stay safe.
That was a rough day. It came up quick because I was here talking to you and Vicki, and I went out on the road there, and I was a whiteout when I got to Paddock Lake. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes later, it was wild that day. Thank you, Gary. We'll move on to parks. The master plan, what we've been talking about, have been the aquatic activities, and I know that we have asked John to identify, and he's done some digging into that, so we'll start with that.
I don't have a whole lot tonight. I just want to let you guys pass this down. Just the front page, it has a good picture of a precast boat launch that comes in slabs. They bolt together, and once you get your basing, you basically push it out with a bulldozer or an end loader. Pretty simple, probably about the most economical way to go. I did talk to, finally, Bruce Shaw from the county dive team. Got in touch with me because I didn't know how big their largest boat was to size it for an emergency situation, and he said it was a 26-footer. And pretty much explained to me what they needed in a bolt launch.
Thanks, Gary.
Good night.
The other thing that I'm looking into, I started looking into getting a permit for the bolt launch to see what all I'd have to go through to install one. And then I found out that although the lake at KD doesn't have any restrictions on it, according to the DNR, the Palmer Creek, they show a thin orange line running through it, and I couldn't get beyond what that meant, but they had three colors. They had like light yellow, orange, and then dark burnt orange, like line. Well, they said that the dark burnt colored line means it's a stream of special concern, and I couldn't find out what that special concern was. I left a call, into Marty Johnson. Not so much that he'd probably know, but he'd know who I should contact to find out and go further on that. So I'm still kind of stuck on the bolt launch thing, but then when I was reading about the streams of special concerns, they talk about not being able to sink fish habitat and things like that. So It depends on, you know, what all they say as to what exactly I find out.
Well, they call that the headwaters of the Palmer Creek, right? The headwaters of the Palmer Creek supposedly
right.
are there.
Right.
So Palmer Creek, for those of you who don't know, is the only designated trout stream in Kenosha County.
I saw it said class 3 trout stream.
It comes out of the New Munster Marsh, goes under Highway 50 into the Flash River.
So that's about as far as I got.
And Marty Johnson is a DNR wildlife biologist.
Yes. Right. He's wearing a lot of hats right now, too, besides
right.
just that.
So. Right. Well, thank you, John. So, we could move on. New business parks, review and approve an ordinance to repeal and recreate Chapter 10 of the Municipal Code of Kenosha County entitled County Park. Now, John, okay. preface this with us. Last meeting, so we're going to go.
Chairman Elderman and Supervisor, this is John Moyer from Corp Council, and John's been assigned as part of his duties. The Parks Department falls under his responsibility. So John worked with me. I mean, to be fair, Bernie started over a year ago with me on this, and then when John came in, I'm not sure when you started.
In May of 12.
Okay, and John took over, and so we've been tweaking away on this since then, trying to bring these ordinances up into the 21st century.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys, I don't know if we need to go through all of them or answer questions. If you have specific questions, why some of them were changed.
Right. Here's what we'll do, because we had this before the committee at our last meeting. I asked the committee to take it and read. I'm hoping that that's what happened. This is very simple, and I'm hoping that we can do it on questions. If the committee does, because if we go through this, you know, page by page, we'd have a, I would call a separate meeting for it. So if there's questions, again, I think, as John said, we're just bringing this into the new century. Things have changed. And we no longer have a park commission. Now we have a parks committee. It's a lot of verbiage that's changed, and so. So I think we'll try to start that way and see where we go. Supervisor Dodge.
Yeah, there was. I went through the whole thing, and there's only three things in there that I had issues with, and I'm not going to bring them up in any particular order. But one of them had to do with them. People going through the park with metal detectors.
Supervisor Dodd, I'd ask you to point out the page.
That would be proposed 10.03 sub 12.
And the page on our...
I've got the old page. Let's see.
Page 37.
37? Okay. That's applications and permits.
Number 12.
Number 12.
Yeah, number 12. Okay, and I looking at this, and the first paragraph, 10.02 sub 2, legislative intent, said this ordinance is enacted for the well-being of the public and its opportunity to enjoy outdoor recreation in its parks in a safe and wholesome atmosphere. So taking that into effect, you know, I've gone out to pets quite frequently, and I've seen people out there with metal detectors, and I think the requirement to physically get a permit is restrictive and would not allow somebody a casual last-minute trip to the park on a weekend or a weeknight to enjoy, you know, going through the park with a metal detector. Jonathan said that there was some damage done from people with that, but in most cases, retrievals are very minimal changes to the sites, less than any divot and repair usually when completed. And what I wanted to do was amend it from no person shall engage in metal detection activity without a written permit, and I'll hand this out, amend it to no person shall engage in metal detecting activity resulting in obvious damage to park property as determined by the parks director, park department employee, or county law enforcement officials. And I would move for that amendment because I see a lot of people enjoying the parks with metal detectors. And I would hate to restrict those people from being able to use the parks and enjoy them without having to come all the way out here and make a planned event to do metal detection.
But we haven't done it with a planned event because basically sticking a shovel in the grass and turning over the sod in a county park was considered against the ordinances in the past. What I would usually do is shoot an email to them from myself saying you have permission as long as the site is restored to, you know, as close to the original condition as it was before you dug. Because we do get folks that come with a garden spade to dig. So
they could be fine if there's damage. I mean, what about the guy that all of a sudden it's a nice Sunday or a nice Saturday, you're not in the office and wants to go out and enjoy the park?
The only problem, Supervisor Dodge, is that without the permit, we don't know who this person is. You the way you've got this written, damage as far as the park director, park department employee, or county law enforcement, they're not going to know he did it.
Anybody seeing him do it?
Nobody sees
turn
people
them
do
in.
It. Do you go to our county parks?
Yes.
Often. Okay. I go to our county parks almost every day. A lot of people don't see me. I can do a lot of damage out there. What this is you have a permit to do this. You can dig a hole out there, and I can go out to our Katy Park, Fox River Park, Silver Lake Park, undetected most days. So we're not asking a whole lot in this.
Well, I think it goes against the intent of 10.02 sub 2 and what the parks are supposed to be used for. So I make a motion that we amend it.
Do we have a second?
I'll second for the sake of conversation. But I will ask, you just said, what do you, without a written permit, but you didn't say that you actually gave
it? Before this, I didn't say it, but I said it was against the ordinance. And as long as I knew who it was, if they emailed me, I would send them an email giving them permission, as long as I knew who they were and what park they were going to be in.
Well, could we maybe modify it to something that doesn't sound so restrictive, that copies maybe what you do? It's like without permission, just say, without the written permit sounds like a
yeah,
formal process, you know?
It's not really hard. I have a park use agreement that's pretty much just type in the lines, but it does require a signature from both parties. And, you know, now doing business with most folks is pretty easy because of scanners. Mm. I can sign it, scan it, I send it to them, they scan it, and send it right back to me. So it's pretty quick, but again, I can't do it after hours, and I'm not gonna usually be able to do it on a Saturday and a Sunday because I'm not in here.
Mm-hmm. And most of the people I've seen there with metal detectors going there with a pocket knife, not with a spade. I haven't seen anybody with a spade. You know,
I've been in the parks for 39 years.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I've seen them dig them out and leave the dirt all lay with a shovel and other things. So, and I've said, you're right. Most guys that go do it come with a garden trowel and they put everything back the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you get those few. It's like any activity out there, you're always going to get somebody that is out there ruining it for everyone else. The only thing is if it, I don't know if it can stay in here under this section. That would be a question for John. If you change this, what doesn't require a written permit, then it would just be deleted entirely.
Well, it wouldn't be under the permit section to be sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could somehow fit it in somewhere else or not. But I don't think the people that are hobbyists that do this regularly, if they do it regularly, they live in the county, I don't know how much of an impediment it is to get a permit. I mean, if it's important to them, they could get a permit. I mean, the people that just buy one and then want to go around and do it, I understand why you're concerned. So I don't know, it's hard for me to know how many people are doing it on a whim, so to speak, or how many people do it because that's their hobby and they do it all the time.
I've never seen it in Fox River Park. I've never seen it in the Katy Park.
I've seen it in Pets.
Oh, you might see it in Pets.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've been Fox River Park for 59 years. I've never seen anybody out there digging a hole. So the only thing I would say is that this is public land. And it's owned by every citizen of Kenosha County, so everyone should have a right. But everyone doesn't have a right to dig up public land. So I think the permit process is totally justified. Supervisor Shkolsky.
John, is it, I'm just, because I don't metal detect, is the permit for one day, can you get it for
I would
a
just
month
give,
or a week?
I'd give it to them probably, my park use agreements run for 1 year. normally.
Oh, okay.
So if I wrote it for them, it'd be for a full year, and it'd be for in the county parks.
So I don't find that intrusive at all. I mean, I agree. There's no way to detect who did something. At least you have this stack of people or papers in it, you know, that you could go through and say, hey, we're out at such and such. And I just point back to the observation that Supervisor Noble just made about snowballs. Unfortunately, the general public isn't quite as conscious of taking care of the things that we all share, right? And just that's a great example. It's just whatever our level of morality is dropped, call it what you want, but they're just, so those individuals do exist. You've experienced it, and you know what? I don't want to have your staff to have, or somebody else go out and fix some hole that's been dug by somebody. And we have no ability to, how do you say it, resolve the issue, right? So at least if it's a year, I don't find that intrusive at all.
Supervisor,
nor do I.
Thank you.
Now that I know that it's a year.
I didn't know it was for 1 year. I thought every time they went to go out there, they would have to contact you and get a permit. So that changes the problem of the weekends.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
One thing, too, that I think it's important that you guys know is that we do have some historical sites in our parks. And, in fact, I've been speaking with the Kenosha Museum and the History Center about the possibility of doing archaeological digs again. And the one thing that we are really, you know, leery of is getting somebody with a metal detector going into those spots and removing artifacts before those digs can be done, and everything, you know, marked and recovered for historical purposes. I've never had a problem with somebody digging quarters and dimes and nickels around our shelter buildings. It's been going on for years. As long as the guy was restoring the site, we just would walk up and say, you know, really, as long as you're careful like this, we don't care. But it's, again, we worry about trying to protect what we feel needs to be protected. And I just did a lengthy, well, John just did a lengthy decision for me on who really owns what's in the ground.
I read it today, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then the state's protected their properties that way. The DNR has protections for things that are found on state property. Might be something to consider in the future with county property, but John said he had an actual specific inquiry to dig around a building where someone's interested, which, you know, might be a good thing, but yeah, unless you have some protections, things found there aren't going to stay in the county property, and they probably should be enjoyed by everyone.
Right.
If they're historical.
Further that?
So, if there's no objection, could I withdraw my motion?
I withdraw the second.
Yes. Okay. The second withdrawn. Agrees?
Yes. Withdraw.
Another issue I had was there's a couple of places in here where provisions are taking authority away from this committee. And one of them would be section 10.05 sub 4, I believe it's page 38. Okay, and what actually that's saying is that rather than when somebody is denied a permit and they want to appeal, right now they would appeal to, well, it used to be appeal it to the Highway and Parks Committee. This is saying we're going to change it to the Public Works Director or his designee to rule on it, and that ruling would be final. I believe supervisors are elected and are answerable for the public and therefore should be making some of those decisions. Under this, a couple of things I was thinking was the designee could be, I mean, if the Public Works Director wasn't here or we didn't appoint one yet, could be the same person that denied in the first place. And I take issue with that because it's not a good way to appeal. I don't think we know who the Public Works Director will be. Or they're biased to the public, and I don't know if the departments may be merged or the title Public Works Director would be changed. So with that, I've got a proposed amendment to the language. The top is the original language as written, and the proposed amendment is, which I'll go over, the proposed amendment, and under appeal, says, within 7 days after receipt of an application, county park manager, director,
Kemper Center director or their duly authorized employee shall grant or deny the permit, and any aggravated applicant shall have the right to appeal in writing within 5 days to the committee, which shall consider the application of the standards set forth herein and all applicable laws and rules, and sustain or overrule the decision within 15 days. Decision of the committee shall be final. That is just saying, as before, the committee would make that decision, and I'm just trying to, I believe we should, that authority should be left with the committee, and therefore I propose that amendment. I so move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Knoll. Any discussion? I'll start the discussion. A couple things wrong with the Supervisor Dodge. One is that if we don't have a meeting set, we'd have to have a special meeting, and you would deny the public an actual quick reply. The quick reply in the original here would be within 5 days. If we had just had a public works committee, if I'm the chairman, I'm not going to call a special meeting for an appeal on someone's rights to rent a shelter. I think you're a little bit overemphasizing what the parks director does. And if you wonder who that director or manager is, it's Mr. Rudy. We do not, with the absence of Mr. Arbit, have an absence in our parks director and manager. It's always been Mr. Rudy since you've been here. So what they're looking for here is a cohesive way for people at Kemper, for people at Bristol Woods, for people at any county park, and it all comes under Mr. Rudy, to deny or to approve applications for use of the county parks. This committee doesn't necessarily, since I've been here, always have the best knowledge of what they're dealing with, nor does it have the ability to meet within 5 days. So I think this is why our attorneys and Mr. Rudy and the people, you know, use this language. I personally don't think it's biased towards anybody, and I would ask you to reread it.
Well, it's 15 days, not 5. And my question was
15 days. We don't meet 30.
The 15 days is the way it has always been since 9/22 of 83.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was a problem prior to this with that 15 days.
I've never had
a problem with 15 days.
The only time I won't issue a permit is if it's immoral or illegal.
I've been 18 years on this committee, and we've never had one.
It's common sense.
It's not a complicated problem.
Well, I still think it's elected officials should be making some of these decisions, especially on an appeal. So.
Any other further discussion? Supervisor Kolesky.
I share your sentiment there, Chairman, and that is, if there is really, I trust John's judgment on this stuff, and if there was going to be one of our constituents, right, that you've come to the conclusion that it would not be advisable for the county to. I'm certain we would be getting a call if it was really that big a deal, and then we could discuss it at the committee level at that time. Obviously, we could even get together with you or just call you one-on-one and get to the bottom of it. So I understand what you guys are trying to streamline it. Let's bring it in the 21st century. I don't need to be holding your hand or overriding what you're trying to do here, so I'm not going to support this amendment.
Supervisor Knoll.
I think I will, and the reason is because the point that Mr. Supervisor Dive says, and as we are right now, the person who would have denied the application would be you. And then, as it is right now, you're the acting public works director. You get to also appeal it. No,
that's what you said. Well, what I would do here is pass it on to Jenny, because Jenny's basically in charge of parks in the
pass which part
of public works absence.
Pass which
the appeal.
The appeal on
the appeal.
And she works for you.
Pass them on to her.
And she works for you, though.
She what?
And she works under you?
She works under Jim Cruiser.
I work under Jenny.
Jenny Tunkwitz. Oh,
Jenny Tunkwitz.
Jenny Tunkwitz, yes.
Well, I don't know. Okay. I mean, I'm still going to support it. I still think it's not that big of a deal.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Nay. It fails. Any further discussion?
Yeah. And this one has to do with taking authority away from the committee too, which I just didn't like. I think that the committee should retain the authority that they had prior to this. Section 10.05, sub 2F, and that was a simple one. It said that the area requested is in compliance with the areas designated by the Highway and Parks Committee for the type of use requested. Wait a minute here. Wait, submitted change was that the area requested is compliance with the areas designated by the park manager director for the type of use requested. And I changed that to back to the word committee provided for in 10.01 sub 1, which means this committee. Just gives the authority back to the committee.
So, 2F.
I move for that amendment.
I'll second for discussion.
I'm not finding it in here. I find 1F.
Yeah. 10.05
is 38. You're right. 38F.
I spent a lot of time going over this, and I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
I think it's
3F.
It's 3F,
I think. Yeah, 3F.
Standards of
yeah.
Is
3F. On page 38.
You know...
can I speak? Yes, Dan.
We run into instances, Supervisor Dodge, where the... Parkside rugby team will come to Pets and want to use an area down in the park or someplace in the park. Their fields are too wet and Parkside won't let them use them and damage them. So they assume they can come by us and damage park turf and walk away from it. And that's the kind of instance that I would use that and say no at. If somebody comes and asks for a permit to help out alcohol, we don't allow that anywhere other than in a pavilion. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it's as, that isn't, that the use for the area basically is the area is designated for that or will accommodate it. And there are instances, like I said, where I'll get a baseball team that uses 90-foot base paths instead of 60-foot, and they'll want to use a little league field with 60-foot base paths, where that just doesn't work, and you know they're out into the grass. So I mean, there's just a lot of instances where I need the ability to say no.
How did you do it in the past with the prior language?
With the prior language?
Yeah.
No, I just told them the reason why, and
that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to change it?
The Highway and Parks, the changing of this, I had discussed with Ray Arbutt at length, and it was Ray's recommendation that more authority be given to the Parks Director to be able to deal with these things more easily. It wasn't to take power away from anyone, or anything of that nature.
Supervisor Dodge, again, we are not out in the park. I'm out in the park, walking my dog. Mm-hmm. I'm not out in the park when he has to make a decision who rents what and who uses what. Fox River Park is heavily used by the Bulldog football group, by the cross-country teams. They've got the lights set out that they give it all this. Mr. Rudy has to say, last summer, are you out there? No, you're not out there. We had a horrible drought. You're not using that. Another thing Mr. Rudy has to do is the sledding thing that we have for the children to use, not let the cross-country team do their sprints up and down there because it takes the turf away and then it erodes the sliding field. Our committee's not going to be out there to do that. This is so Mr. Rudy can make the decision. He is the manager of the county park, whether you want or not.
And he always has been.
Correct.
The only needed change was Highway and Parks Committee no longer exists. So that's where I substituted committee to clean it up. But he changed it from this committee to the director. And it's worked for years.
No, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. It's worked because the committee hasn't been called to go out there and make these decisions.
Well,
the manager has done it. But they're trying to get a smooth document here. And what was in there goes back to the old park commissioners where they sat and they had their meetings and they made, things have changed a whole lot. And if you feel somehow jilted by the fact that Mr. Rudy's not going to call me and have me call you at 8:55 on a Saturday morning and say the cross-country team...
I trust Jonathan. Don't get that wrong.
So the cross-country team wants to run up that hill. Dennis, can we have a quick meeting? And I call all you and I get Doug and I get... And then we have a quick meeting and then we tell them, let's grow up here.
That was never required in the past.
No.
No.
That's why this language is here. So I don't know.
I got a question, and I'm not sure if it's to John or to the attorney, but I don't know that what he's trying to do would change your authority to do what you're doing. I'm thinking what I'm reading here is the area, you can still say no, this the cross-country team, you can't do it, but within the areas designated by the committee for the type of use requested. In other words, who designates areas? We do, I mean, normally, the committee, we designated, you know, the baseball diamonds and, you know, the soccer fields. I mean, to me, this is just saying the committee designates the area, and if you see somebody wanting to do something in an area that's not designated for that use, you can tell them, the committee says you can't do it here. I mean, it's still your authority.
Well, you can.
Am I misunderstanding?
You can, but Doug, with this document, why throw a...
I'm just asking for...
I think it's more functionality of on a specific problem where someone wants to know if they can use an area for a designated purpose that they want. So I think it's more of an immediate question. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I mean, like your example with the cross-country team where someone wants to, I don't know, sled down an area or something, that's what this addresses. It's more a specific instance where there may not be time to get a committee meeting together.
No, that's not what I'm asking. I don't think that he's asking to get a committee meeting together.
No.
I think he's saying that the committee still has the authority to designate what areas of the park are appropriate for what.
For what activities.
I mean, yeah. Otherwise, you know, like for example, we put a baseball field in the park across the street from Paddock Lake. You didn't decide we were going to do that. The committee decided. We put extra soccer fields in at Silver Lake. You didn't decide to do that. We decided to do that. So if you see like a rugby team wants to play on a soccer field, it's not asking him to call a committee meeting to find out if the rugby team could play on a soccer field. It's still within his purview to make the call, but the committee designated the type of use for the particular areas of the park, or maybe we don't.
No, exactly. And Doug, the reason for this document is so it's all streamlined. We know that already. We don't need to make an amendment to this document to re-say that. We already designated that park as a park. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
But we don't have to amend this document. This document solidifies that.
Yeah, all right. I mean,
so I read it to mean they're asking to use...
That's what I'm asking. What do you read it to mean?
That the area they want to use is an appropriate area for the use they want to do that in that area. That's the way I read that part of it. You know, that the area requested is in compliance with the areas designated by whoever for the type of use requested.
And if on any given day, John Rudy thinks it's not... We've already designated it as a county park,
right,
and a play field. And the committee has that total control. They're not taking any control from us. But on a given day, if John Rudy says the conditions aren't right, John Rudy has the authority without calling this committee. That's what this is saying.
I totally go along with that.
To say yes.
I'm not asking to call this committee.
But when you make an amendment,
interpretation of it would be.
No, I don't think this is to designate particular spots in the park for certain activities. I think this is to make sure that when someone wants to use an area, that it's in compliance with the designation for the type of use requested. I think it's more specific to an activity on a particular day and time. But John, correct me if I'm wrong. That's the way I read this.
No, that's what it's referring to.
All right, fine.
Okay. Well, do we have a motion on this one? We have a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor of this amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Fails. Any other discussion on the
There was one other thing in here that I wanted to point up, and I didn't write it up, I didn't think it was that important. Spending a lot of time in Petrified Springs, I've noticed on many occasions that there's people that ride some of the trails on bicycles. I think it's somewhere in here saying that they can't use mountain bikes in there. And why would we want to not allow that? Because I've never had a problem with them. They've always been very courteous.
Well, the problem with bikes on the trail, especially at Pat's, is that South Bank is so steep and highly erodible. And now we're just talking pets. But the bikes not on the trails, being prohibited from the trails, are so that hikers ran over by them. Because if you walk, typically bikers and pedestrians don't get along. And I'm already I get complaints of pets, and I pass them off from hikers that bikers are going by and yelling at them for being on the trail. I mean, on the bike path, again, we ran into the problem with women pushing strollers and bicyclists telling these women they can't be on the trail. We actually changed the name of the trail to Multi-Use Trail so that bicyclers didn't believe that they owned it themselves. It's, you know, it's been prohibited in the past. I've been asked to look for a place to accommodate them before we shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing. I have the gentleman that ran the fight, the Fat Tire bike race at Silver Lake, has ties with other off-road bicycle riders, with user groups that we're supposed to be meeting with here in the near future to set up a trail for bicycles for off-road bikes in Silver Lake Park. So we are looking for a place to accommodate them. And if I think in here it says, unless designated a bike trail or bike path. So that's what we would do at that time out there.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the ordinance? If not, can we get a motion to
make a motion to approve as written?
Supervisor Blitzke.
For Chapter 10, County Parks.
And a second.
Seconded by Supervisor Knoll. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. I have the original here.
Supervisor Dodge, could I get a copy of what you passed out?
Sure. So we'll move on to the resolution to approve apply for a National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant to fund invasive species.
Again, this is a 50-50 grant, and I'm asking for about $25,000 from this. It's a $50,000 grant, I'm sorry. And what we're looking to do is this grant is available because the invasive species are in the watershed of the Pike River. So what this grant, if we are able to apply for it and accept it, will remove all the buckthorn, honeysuckle, and other invasives, burdock. But again, box elder and honeysuckle and, right, and buckthorn being the probably the three biggest ones. And once they were removed, we would seed the areas with native species seed. There are a few areas at Pets where it's heavily populated, but for the most part, I would say 60% of Pets, it's not going to take them long to go through it for the removal. But the work would be hired out. It wouldn't be something that we would do ourselves. So I guess what I'm asking for is permission to
apply
for the grant. Yeah.
Any questions?
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge to approve applying for the grant. Seconded by Supervisor Kowalski. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Rudy has had great success with these grants. And I think the next thing we'll be seeing is accepting the grant. And item C, John.
Okay, we did apply for a grant to the Department of Natural Resources Urban Forestry Grants to write an Emerald Ash Borer Management Plan for Petrifying Springs and Fox River Parks. I did receive notification that we are awarded the grant. Of course, it's reimbursable. We will have to do it, but the grant, the total grant is $25,000, with $12,500 being the Kenosha County match. I did include, at the request of the state forester on notification that we were awarded the grant, I did include the Petrifying Springs Golf Course and the Brookfield Golf Courses in on this plan in the RFP with the stipulation that they could be removed if once I get the RFPs, there's not enough money in the grant to fund the removal or the inventory and management plan to include the golf courses. So basically, I'm asking to be able to accept the grant funding.
Any questions on that?
No.
What, could I have a motion?
No, the motion to approve.
I'll second. Seconded by Supervisor Noble. Supervisor Kowalski made the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So I have the original here also. So, John, we'll move on to the director's report.
Okay. I did get some documents from the Pringle Nature Center. There are minutes and a few financial pages from them that I included. They will be doing, two weekends from now, they are doing, tapping maple trees at Pets in the North Woods and showing folks how to tap maple trees and doing the syrup thing out there. And that would be done by Area 6. And when I looked, it was in the paper last night, I believe, it said 10 o'clock noon and 2 o'clock were the times the hikes went out. The Ice Fishing Derby, we had a KD, went pretty well. We had 44 kids register to fish. I think there were more than that there, but a lot of them were pretty much playing and having fun. Everything went really well, I think, for our first time. I would have liked to see more kids, but it was nice being able to do an event for the first time and ease into it. And again, you know, we had a lot of sponsors and a lot of help from the 4-H Youth Fishing Project. They did front the money for the prizes for the each of the classes of fish. But again, we only caught, I think it was perch, bluegill, and largemouth bass.
I saw a couple of crappies. Bass.
Oh, crappies. I'm sorry. Yeah. There was no trout, northern or walleye caught. I already have been talking with the folks down in Human Services about the at-risk youth again. I do plan to have at least 25 youth and supervisors out at KD to start working on cleanup and trails on the KD expansion this summer. I will have a very small crew, probably a 5 at Pets, and probably 3 with a supervisor at Kemper. The other thing I did, and John helped me with this too, I attached an Adopt a Trail flyer in your packets, and we pretty much plagiarized the states, or I did. And then I turned it over to John, and he went through it and made sure that everything worked for us with the rules and the insurance requirements. We do have, I believe, an insurance form too that that Corp Council has went through for the volunteers to sign off on. There is no cost to the public, and in fact, I have 2 groups right now that want to adopt sections of trail, and that's what prompted this, because I have never done this in the past, and so I had no way to do it. But I was approached by one in December and another one early on in January. So once this is up and running, I'll be able to, these both groups want to do trails at Pets. And, you know, it pretty much lists out what we expect out of them. And the cost of the county will be is to put signs on either end of their trail sections that that's who's taking care of it. So I think that's a pretty good situation. Plus, it opens up the Parks Department for to be able to get into the volunteer thing a little bit more. I mean, our dog parks was basically our first attempt at it. And this will go a lot further to give us experience with that.
That's a beautiful thing. It's, I mean, I commend you. That's going to be huge, because we've opened up all these new trails. And
it'd be nice to get help. So.
Yep.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
When, you know, I was actually Sunday in the Pringle, and on the signs they have some maps with north, south, east, and west. And I think that would be good to put it on. You know, if somebody's going to adopt a trail, and have them put just, you know, the north, south, east, and west on the trail. Because I was with my little grandkids, and we got pretty deep in there, and then they got tired, and I didn't know for sure which was the direction to get out of.
That's, that's the problem under Supervisor Underhill brought up, because the trails out there just have a thing in the ground with a color band on them.
Yeah.
And right now there's an Eagle Scout doing the posts with the colored arrows. So you know which way, there'll be a blue arrow routed into the post pointing which way the blue trail goes, just like at KD and at Pets.
You're talking at, there's somebody's doing that at
For Pringle.
At
for
Pringle?
At Pringle, yeah.
Right now they're in the ground.
The project is for there as well.
I took them way too back in, too far back in. And
it was hard walking last
weekend. And it was hard
walking. At KD they're up, so you can see, okay, this is 2.49 miles, do I want to do this?
Yeah. You know? But it was helpful that it's a couple. I came across a sign that had a north, south, east, and west, and that was the first time I, oh, okay, at least I know.
If it happens again, you can always just scream like a little schoolgirl. Let's see.
They were. No.
Crumb trail.
Grandpa, what'd you do?
Yeah.
And one other thing then, too, was I handed everybody a flyer about Bird City, Wisconsin, and it's basically about getting our community recognized, or the county recognized as well. Right now, you need to fit 7 out of 22 criteria, and just the Parks Department alone has 5 of those criteria, and the Pringle Nature Center probably has 5 or 6 more on their site. And when I asked them, I said, are you folks willing to shoot for Pinellas County as being Bird City? They were 200% behind us. They want to meet with me and go over it and get the application in, but unfortunately, the application for this year is already, I think March 1st was the deadline for 13, so.
You can do a county for a bird, for a city, a bird city?
Well, that's just the term, Bird City.
Oh.
Yeah.
But we'd get the designation.
But it incorporates, part of the Bird City thing is the bird trail and, Bird Trail, something else, and The Pringle Nature Center is, or Bristol Woods is already part of that trail, as is the Chewaukee Prairie and Vaughn. So, but they have a Great Wisconsin Birding and Nature Trail, is what it's called. But they haven't applied, but we, with everything in this county, we thought we'd just go ahead. And again, like I said, the Pringle Nature Center is supportive of it, and they're doing most of these other requirements that we're not doing, so it'd be an easy fit just to go ahead and do it and apply.
Right. That'll cost them.
And that's, oh, one other thing, too, I just wanted to give everybody a heads up on. The Kemper Pier. The railings down there are wore out. They're the original railings, and we have to take them down every year and store them and put them back up. And the kids have beat them up, and we've lost the connector blocks, and we've been both putting wood in there and bolting them together and doing other things. And we're to the point where we're afraid from a legal standpoint, we're afraid somebody's going to get hurt down there by going through those railings. What I found out in 1982, and that pier was built right around 1980, I believe, was that the railings were obsolete when we bought them. It was the end of a line of railings that were no longer going to be manufactured.
Are they stainless? Stainless steel?
Aluminum.
Oh.
And, well, the blocks are aluminum. No, the rails are all aluminum.
Okay.
And the posts. And we were able to get parts for about 5 years, and then I started having Holland Manufacturing trying to make some of the parts, and it was very pricey, and we finally gave up on it. And this year we will not be putting the railings up. I am not comfortable with opening that pier back up with those railings on it. It's been about 4 years now, I priced new railings, and the cost for new railings was $110,000 for railings on that pier. There's talk about removing the pier sometime in the future. So, you know, I'm hesitant to go ahead and push new railings into the CIP when, you know, the talk is about removing it.
And it's shot. The water's not been high enough the last 4 years for it to even be used.
Yeah. You know,
I said we block it off.
But on the other side of that, I see a lot of people sit on it.
Yeah.
There is one gentleman with a wheelchair I saw down there frequently last summer fishing. He was the only handicapped person. The other thing about that, too, is now that the city built, you know, where Simmons used to sit and they ran that walk down along, there are handicapped fishing spots now down there. And we did have talks with the DNR probably about 5 years ago about that. And they said if handicapped fishing is available, that they would probably be inclined to let us remove that pier.
What about a grant from the state? There was a handicapped fishing pier for those railings. Is there any grants available?
Well, it was built with lock-on money, too. It needs a lot of repairs,
yeah.
Structurally, if you look at it. It was $80,000 just to paint it. Because you have to put the entire netting underneath of it, and then sandblast those iron I-beams. So, you know, we've just been holding off on everything because of the expense and the degree of difficulty.
I know that Dennis said it, but my recollection is the same. But the water, you can't fish off the pier right now.
Well, the water's down so far now that it's difficult.
I thought you said somebody was fishing last year.
There was a guy there that goes and fishes. But the rocks are so far out front, I don't know how he gets a fish up there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Supervisor Kolesky?
John, just want to commend you on your efforts with the dog parks. My daughter's been frequenting the one in Vets and just absolutely loves it, as well as all the other users that are there. So thank you for all your efforts there. I don't know if you get any calls on that, but I can attest to the fact that the users of those dog parks really do appreciate them.
Yeah, I know they do. I stopped at the one here in Paddock Lake, and all that snowstorm was it last Wednesday, and there was a family in there with two dogs, and in the middle of a blizzard, they're out there with their dogs, and then they were telling me, "Oh, we love these.
Yeah.
We can't believe it. It just, yeah, they're a great thing."
Thank you.
So I'm going to take care of the golf report here. Dan is still injured. John, we want to thank you for being here and your work on all this.
Thanks, sir.
He fell. He tore his bicep out of his shoulder, rotator cuff, and he's not been cleared to even drive. So what you have on his golf update, I'm sure you all read it. We don't have any final numbers on golf. It explains just what he's done the last 3 years that have gotten us to a good point here, what they're doing in the Chicago and the Milwaukee shows, what we're doing on merchandising, the Golf Channel, and our outings. That's very important that we rebook and they're looking for new. So Dan isn't just sitting at home. They're still doing this where he couldn't drive, couldn't make it to the meeting. And it explains the irrigation work that we did approve, and that is just the heads. That was, I believe, $65,000 worth of work there. And so he apologized, and he has kept in touch with me and with John, and he will. He's going to try to be, but they said they might not clear him by the April meeting. So he's torn up. And he fell in the parking lot.
Yep,
at Brighton. Went and grabbed a hold of something. And, all right. So that's all we have, folks. Unless anybody has anything else. Move to adjourn by Supervisor Dodge.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Noble. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. And Dan said he tore the bicep right off.
Yeah.